Debbie, would you come and read Scripture, please?
Our scripture this morning is in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11. It is found in the Pew Bibles on page 999. Now, God gives us many kinds of special abilities, but it's the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service to God, but it's the same Lord we are serving. There are many ways in which God works in our lives, but it's the same God who does the work in and through all of us who are His. The Holy Spirit displays God's power through each of us as a means of helping the entire church. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. Someone else may be especially good at studying and teaching. And this is His gift from the same Spirit. He gives special faith to another, and to someone else the power to heal the sick. He gives power for doing miracles to some, and to others power to prophesy and preach. He gives someone else the power to know whether evil spirits are speaking through those who claim to be giving God's message, or whether it is really the Spirit of God who is speaking. Still another person is able to speak in language he never learned. And others who do not know the language either are given the power to understand what he is saying. It is the same, the only Holy Spirit who gives all these gifts and powers, deciding which each one of us should have.
Thank you, Debbie. I could never do and fill in the blank. Something you think you possibly could not do. The preacher or the Sunday school teacher was talking about spiritual gifts. There must be something wrong with me, because I don't think I have one. I mean, I can't teach. I can't sing. I can't heal. I can't speak in tongues. I can't prophesy. Sometimes my faith seems so small. Spiritual gifts, well, that's for those other kinds of churches out there, not us. Any of this sound familiar to you? Perhaps maybe you have even thought it or said it at some point in time. And a lot of people really do get nervous when this passage of Scripture is read or when you start talking about it, especially in Baptist churches. Because we think about gifts and we think that sometimes they are for the elite or the super religious and not for us. Or perhaps we're afraid. We're afraid that if we display certain gifts or talents that somebody will call on us. Maybe even God will call on us to do something with them. I think perhaps we have misunderstood oftentimes the whole concept of spiritual gifts and abilities. They're not reserved for people who are just on a higher spiritual plane than others. And sometimes we think they're not for common people. But I'm here to tell you that God gives each and every person, all of us who are common, different gifts and different abilities to be used. So I want this morning to look at this passage briefly from the standpoint of using our gifts for one cause and one cause only. That is, the upbuilding of the church so that the gospel message can be shared throughout the world. Perhaps sometimes we think that if these gifts come upon us, somebody will think we're a fanatic as well. And I will say that sometimes the gifts do seem to be different and divide. But I want us to understand that the purpose of the gift, as one writer states, is so that the church can function. This writer goes on to say, and I quote, "The kingdom is diminished when we ignore the gifts that God has placed within us and refuse to use them." End of quote. Now, we all know that Paul writes a series of letters to different churches. And he writes a series of letters, actually, to the church in the city of Corinth. At least portions of four letters are found in what we have in 1 and 2 Corinthians. So Paul doesn't give up on them, and we've talked about that before. But the church at Corinth is a very cosmopolitan church in a very cosmopolitan city. And what that means in part is that all the diversity that is found in the city is also brought into the church. Not everyone is alike. Not everyone is the same. Sometimes that diversity can certainly be an asset for overall ministry, can it not? And there are some folks who can participate in ministry in different ways and reach folks that others can't. So that diversity can be an asset. But that diversity also brings deep challenges to the church. Sometimes diversity brings conflict and disharmony. And this is part of what happened at the Corinthian church. There was great concern by Paul because there was some disharmony over these gifts. These gifts that had come to just normal people in a congregation, but who were in an extraordinary position to reach out to a world that was very cosmopolitan and highly questioning of what was going on. Rather than pulling the people together for ministry, we find Paul having to write about these gifts because the gifts were pulling them away from productive ministry. They, like many today, saw the gifts as very restricted in type and in whom they might reside. And as a result, some people were feeling left out. And there are folks that feel left out today. And then there were some that claimed that they were super Christian. They were better than others because the gift that they had was the best one. But Paul didn't say that. Paul didn't say that one of these gifts was better than another. Nor did Paul say that the list was complete. I've had folks tell me, and I have in New Testament classes I teach online. I don't just ask straight questions out of the book, but I try to make people think with some of the questions. And among the questions when we're dealing with the Corinthian correspondence is one that I ask, if you are a religious person, because not everybody is who takes these courses, what gift might you have? And we talk about how the gifts are not just those listed in this passage. But as Chris mentioned earlier, there are all kinds of gifts like in a tool bag. And I will always have students that will say, well, I can't do, and they'll start listing these things, so I don't guess I've got a gift. But I do pray a lot, or I do help people in the community, or I'm a nurse, and I do help people in the hospital, and I reply back, then you do have a gift. And if you let God use that gift, it is a spiritual gift. But unfortunately, a lot of times, we let them divide. It's kind of like, I know that there's some people in here who do not like diet drinks, do not like artificial sweeteners. And those who do sometimes feel left out because you got sweet tea, but you don't always have the other thing. So the second hymn today was for you all who like the artificial sweeteners. Well, it says, "There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers, sweet and low." So see, we tried to include you as well today. And then again, there is the story that was told by Max Lucado. A man on a trip saw another man carrying a Bible. And he goes up to him and he says, "Are you a believer?" And yes, was the very excited reply. Cautiously, the first man asked, "Virgin birth?" "I believe it," said the second. "Deity of Jesus?" "Absolutely." "Death on the cross and resurrection?" "Hallelujah." The first man thought he had found a true Christian friend. But he knew you can't be too careful these days. "Status of man," he asked. "Sinner in need of grace," was the reply. Definition of grace: God doing for man what man cannot do for himself. Return of Christ: imminent. Bible: inspired. The church: the body of Christ. Conservative or liberal? Conservative. The first man's heart quickened. "Denomination?" he asked. "Southern Congregational Holy Son of God Dispensational Triune Convention." "They belong to the same denomination." "Branch?" came the next question. "Premillennial, post-trib, non-charismatic, King James One Cup Communion." A great sense of oneness was developing here in the airport. They believed exactly the same. But once again, you can't be too cautious. So finally, the first man looked at him, cocked his head, and said, "Is your pulpit wooden or fiberglass?" The second responded, "Fiberglass." And with a look of shock and disgust, the first man withdrew his hand, stiffened his neck, and as he ran away, he shouted, "You heretic!" Humorous, but do we not oftentimes divide over the least little thing? Paul tells the Corinthians that all gifts are from God, not the individual. As Debbie read, and if you read along and continue to read, you will find that the gifts are given by the Spirit, as the Spirit decides, not as the individual determines. And there is an ancient triune formula here, that they're given by the Spirit and by one Lord and by God, the Father of us all. Verses 4 and following. And they're meant to be used to serve. To serve with others in the church and to serve others within the church. While gifts like speaking and praying, writing and teaching are gifts from God, they're not the only ones. Those who work with their hands also have their talent from God. I've told you a story before about my father and his lack of plumbing skills, and that after one incident, my mother refused to ever let him get anywhere near the plumbing if there was a problem, because he thought that he could change the washers in the kitchen faucet without having to go all the way out to the street and turn the water off for the entire house. And by the time he got the water turned off and was calling a plumber, there was over 2 inches of water on the floor in the kitchen. And water everywhere. Ceiling, walls, and floors. He was not a plumber. "I can change washers, but that's all the plumbing I will ever do. Because I think I inherited that gene." He didn't mess with electricity. "I do sometimes. I will hang a ceiling fan or I'll change a light fixture." And I guess I either have a great deal of faith or a lot of stupidity, because I do not go and flip the switch off, the breaker. I just work very, very carefully. So really, electricity is not my thing either. But there are people who do that. And even some of them put a metal ladder against a live wire. But we won't talk any more about that, will we? But we all have different talents. There are people who are good at math, who are good at computers, who are good teachers, who are good at making people feel welcome. And not everybody can do that. That's a gift from the Spirit of God. And both we and God's kingdom suffer when any of us fail to recognize these as gifts from God too. And when we refuse to use them as gifts from God. I want to quote another colleague who said, "What makes a gift spiritual anyway? Often it is the gift that would otherwise go unused, except the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer enables him or her to dedicate that talent to God. Otherwise, it would be left out of God's service." End of quote. The gifts listed in Corinthians are those that the Corinthians were talking about. They're not the only gifts. They're the ones that the Corinthians were using and about which they were speaking. Wisdom, Sophia. Knowing things both human and divine, and knowing the difference between the two because of communion with God in daily life. Being wise enough to use the best means to attain the best end for the whole. Knowledge. The ability to not only know things, but the ability to apply the wisdom in the proper way. By the way, both of these are listed in Isaiah chapter 11 as gifts with which the Messiah would be endowed. Wisdom and knowledge. Faith. But not just faith to say, well, you know, I believe it. Faith as a verb, not a noun. Faith as a verb, not simply a noun. Healing. It's really kind of interesting that oftentimes within Judaism, when people were sick, they didn't go to the doctor, per se. Guess where they went? To the rabbi. That's right, Bobby. Church. To the rabbi. They went to the synagogue. They went to the temple. They wanted the rabbi to pray for them, to offer them advice, because the rabbi was connected to God. So I guess when my son used to say that, yeah, my dad's a doctor, but he's not one can do you any good, who knows? Deeds of power. Deeds of power. Possibly exorcising demons, but also the ability to help heal the mind and the spirit. To help heal the mind and the spirit. In fact, going back to healing, I am fully convinced and have been for decades. It's not the guys on the TV that pop you in the forehead or whatever. But God most often heals physically through doctors and nurses and other technicians. And God in the process heals through many, many, the mind and the spirit. Sometimes that healing takes place because someone has the ability to actually sit and intently listen when another is pouring out his or her soul. Prophecy. And that's not telling us when the end of the world's going to be. And quite frankly, I think the Mayans simply ran out of room on a tablet. Prophecy for the biblical prophet was the ability to lead people into a proper relationship with God. That's what prophecy was. The ability to distinguish between different kinds of spirits. Partly to distinguish what is valid and what is primarily hysteria or histrionics. Tongues and interpreting tongues. This is the one that seemed to cause confusion and was highly coveted. But in chapter 14, Paul says, if one speaks in a language that they do not know, they should pray that God would allow them to understand what they're saying. But just because your gift or your talent is not listed in this list doesn't mean that it is any less important in the work of God's kingdom. It doesn't mean that it is any less spiritual to be used in God's kingdom. What makes it spiritual is that you recognize it comes from God through God's Spirit, and you commit that gift to God's service. We also need to remember that the gift must be one that can truly be claimed as from God, because it puts forth the goodness of God and God's grace for you and for me and for others around. The gift must be used to honor God, not simply to be self-serving, if it is truly a spiritual gift. The gift is to help promote the unity of purpose, one cause, rather than to fragment the church. The gift should bring about peace and unity. So when we think about our talents, when we think about our gifts, when we wonder if we've even got one, and we think, well, it's not listed in here, so I must not, we need to remember all good gifts come from heaven above. So thank the Lord by offering them to the one cause of God's kingdom, whether in school, at work, in a neighborhood, or when we gather for worship and fellowship. And also remember that only good gifts come from God, not evil. Gifts that honor Him, gifts that pull us together in the one cause of Christian living with God, Christian living with each other, and Christian living for the kingdom of God. The one cause. May we pray. Our gracious God, help us. Help us to take all the diversity that is around, or perhaps even within us, and focus that on the one cause of working together for the betterment of the kingdom of God on earth, working together to show the grace and the mercy that comes from You, working together to take our various gifts, our various talents, our different abilities, and using them for Your cause in our world. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 434, an old hymn, but one that I think to a degree fits here. Number 434, Revive Us Again. Revive us again that we might renew our talents and our gifts to God. Standing and singing together, number 434, Revive Us Again.